The Bible says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So as a second point here, continuing on verses 32 through 34, the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is telling us to call something to remembrance. So we know that he's preaching to the Hebrew saved people. And what he's trying to get them to do, hey, remember what you have already come through. You've come this far. Don't throw it away now. I can't tell you how many illustrations I could give you personally of people I know that serve the Lord, live for the Lord, in church, etc., and after many years getting out because of whatever. And I don't care what whatever is. Everybody has circumstances come up. Everybody has issues come up. But we need to remember. I don't know. I was talking to Dan about when he got saved. He got saved when he was in college. I got saved in my last year of college. And guys, if it wasn't for the people that God put into my life at an early age, I'm not where I'm at today. The first church I went to was a GARB church. Is that what it is? We call them garb churches. Listen, I wouldn't have known the difference between a garb church and the Philadelphia Zoo. Okay, I walked in there, that preacher opened up the Bible, he says, the Bible says, and he preached it. That pastor, Alan Griffith, he helped Nan and I. Okay, I do not believe, in retrospect, looking back, I don't believe that Pastor Griffith was a Bible believer like I am a Bible believer today. You follow me? He used the King James Bible, and he was probably a TR man. But I tell you this, he loved the Lord. He fed me the Word of God. And I started going to church there in March of 75. So I was only there April, May, June, July, 4 months. And God used him to help Nan and I get started on our Christian walk. And he's the man who recommended that I go to Bible Truth Institute. Guys, you know, as well as I know, there's a million places you could go. But you miss the Lord early in your life. You're missing the Lord. And because I went to Bible Truth Institute, I met Tom Baker, he was the president, Don Clark, he was the dean, Steve G was a teacher, Bob Guru was a teacher, Mr. Freeman was a teacher, Pastor Geis was the pastor of the church. All of those men, God used Tom Baker, okay, before I was ever called to preach. He came to me and said, I want you to go up here and preach. Though I told him I was not called to preach, and though I told him I had never preached, he said, I think you need to go do that. He's the one who pointed me to go down to Newport and started a church. He's the one who basically named that church. I didn't know him. Are y'all with me? Now listen. Okay, there's areas that we don't agree on. I had a friend in that church. He was divorced before he got saved. And then he got remarried. And then him and his wife got saved. And he went to Bible school. The Bible school I went to, their unpardonable sin was divorce and remarriage. They believed that if you were divorced and remarried in any time of your life, you were not qualified to preach. So when he filled out the application, now listen, when he filled out the application, it said marital status. What do you think he put down? Married. Why? Because he's married. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. His divorce was in his old life. Are y'all with me? Well, he's sitting in class, and somebody starts, you know, some teacher starts nailing divorce to the wall, and
He said, I'm divorced. I got divorced before I was saved, though. And he said, you know, I put on my application that I was married, but I didn't even think it mattered because it was before I was saved. Because, oh, well, you're not qualified to. He said, you can teach Christian school. That you know, whatever. So for 3 years, you know what he did in that school? Everything. They couldn't get other people to run the children's ministry. He ran the children's ministry. They couldn't get many people to do this or that or the other thing, and he did it. He did it all. When he was a senior, beginning, he was halfway through his senior year. He knows he's coming up on graduating, and they're trying to hook him up with Christian schools to principal and stuff like that. And he came to me. I was gone, okay? I had graduated. And he came to me. He said, Mike, he said, you know, they say I can't preach. He said, I believe I'm called to preach. He said, I can't get away from it. He said, you know, I put applications in for Christian school principals. He said, but God's not in it, Mike. He said, God's called me to preach. He says, and I need to preach. I want to pastor a church. In fact, I want to go up to this town, and it was a town about 30 miles from school, and start a church there. Brother, you need to do what God wants you to do. So he went to the president of the school and the dean and the pastor, and he shared his heart with them. You know what they did? They kicked him out. That was my friend. So I'm going to be honest with you. I got mad about it, and I cut off my relationship with the school, and I helped him with that church. I went up and preached. We gave him chairs. But there's two things. I hold no animosity in my heart. God used that in Jim's life to help him and his wife take a step of faith to do, and God has blessed them. So are y'all with me? So then, okay, I get to a certain point after 5 or 6 years, I need help, guys. I've got the Bible. I've got the indwelling Holy Ghost. I got a library full of books, but I need help. So what's God do? He brings Jack Wood into my life. And then I get Brother Homer Smith in my life. Then I get Dr. Green in my life. And then it just goes on and on. Look at me. All of us need help. That's why it's so important that you pray for your pastor. How's he going to meet people when he goes to meetings? That's how I met people. So we need to pray for our pastor that he goes to the right meetings, meets the right guy. Who was that preacher that preached in our revival from down south? David Bretcher? I never met David before in my life. He was a preacher. Where did Pastor Matt meet him? At a meeting. It's vital. We need to pray that God hooks up our pastor with the right men so he can bring them in and help us. Now look at me. I'm 71. I've been saved over 49 years. I have not attained. And I am susceptible to temptation and compromise just like you are. But I do not. Listen, when Nan and I got saved, my father would not talk to me. When I didn't have a Catholic priest at our wedding, my dad didn't come to the wedding, and he wouldn't have anything to do with me. I didn't quite understand all that stuff, but I knew this. The Catholic Church was sending me to hell. That preacher was preaching the truth, and I wanted to live for God. Are y'all with me? Some of my brothers and sisters thought I was whacked out. Some of them thought I OD'd on drugs and stuff like that, lost my mind. I'm serious now. So how do I was able to go through that with Nan as a baby Christian. Why would I let anything now rob me of being faithful to the Lord? Listen, the adversary is going to step up the attacks. Are y'all with me? Listen, the longer you're in this thing, the more of a testimony you have in other people's lives. The more people you have a chance to help, the more chance you have to influence people. The devil takes you out. What's he doing? He's clipping the legs out of other younger people. No, we don't want to do that. We want to be faithful by the grace of God. So basically, that's what he's saying. Remember, let me show you something. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Remember now, we are not in heaven. This is not the kingdom age. We are in the world, and we are not of the world. But the devil is the god of this world, and he hates the Lord, and he hates us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Well, if we remain faithful, we're going to get that reward. Verse number 33, I'm back in Hebrews 10. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and affliction, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Okay, how do you become companions of those that were so used? Look at verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You know what we do? I guess the word that they use nowadays is partner. But what we do, we put that faith promise money in, we put that missions money in, that money goes to 60-some missionaries around the world. We are their companions. We support them financially, but also, and more importantly, I believe, we pray for them daily. You think about Simon Jacob, I never keep that straight. He's in Pakistan. Do you understand that is a very dark place in the world? And the attacks on him, not just physical, but spiritual. And then his children. I remember, I think he had a letter a month or two ago that his son said that he felt like he was called to be a missionary to Canada. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? But anyway, our prayers help us to companion with them by the grace of God. And then verse 34, it mentions, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I like that enduring thing. Stuff doesn't last long down here, does it? Daniel, look up 2 Corinthians 5:1 and nay. Look up 1 Peter 1:4 for me, please. An enduring. Guys, we have an inheritance that the government can't touch. And the in-laws can't sue us for. Go ahead, Nay. Reserved in heaven for you. Daniel, 2 Corinthians 5:1. I can't wait to get that glorified body. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 35 through 39, we're going to see that for the faithful, there's an inheritance that awaits us. Verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. It talks about having a full assurance of faith. Look at verse 22 with me. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So don't cast away your full assurance of faith. Do you know you're saved? Don't ever let the devil put in your mind that you're not saved. Are you in the perfect will of God in your life right now? If you are, don't let the devil throw curveballs at you and try to get you questioning that and going on. You have got a scripture. You've got direction from the Lord. You've been doing what the Lord wants. Hey, the devil's going to mess with the mind to affect your heart that will affect your actions. And so you don't throw that away. Your profession of faith. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 12 in Hebrews. Chapter number 3, verse number 12. Chapter 3 and verse 12, the book says, take heed, brethren, it's a warning, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Every one of us, we have seen people leave God, depart. Look at me. That's not the testimony that you want to have. Whatever you think is worth leaving God about, you're wrong. And you'll have eternal regrets for something so minuscule. So the Bible goes on, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what sin will do? It'll deceive you. Okay, out in the world, you got a man and a woman, and they're not married, and they're shacked up, and they're fornicating, and they're sinning against God, and they tell you what? We're in love. That's not love. That's sin. Sin is what? It's deceiving. It will deceive you. Guys, that's why we need that book in our hearts. Let me hide thy word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. Well, that's why we have to compare everything with the authority of the word of God. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So we don't want to cast off our assurance of faith, our profession of faith. Another thing you don't want to cast off is the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, because that is. Now listen to me. As you get older, I'm going to tell you the truth. As you get older, it's easier to make excuses to not go to church, to not be involved in the ministries. Pastor Matt came up to me. He said, Dad, it's been a long week. I have plenty of workers for Seed Line. You and Mom, just stay home. Just take it easy. Now listen to me. That sounds good. So I said to Nan, you want to marry a good woman, guys? I said to Nan, I said, babe, I said, our pastor said it'd be okay if we stay home. We don't go because he's got plenty of help, and we could just rest up. Anybody want to take a guess what she said? She literally said, there is no way I am staying home. Church is that church. So I go, does that mean I have to go? Now look, I knew what she was going to say, and we weren't staying home. I had the time of my life. I did tell Pastor Matt, I said, last year I walked around and I collected stuff, you know, and carried it. I said, I can't do that. Walking on that concrete, I would have been in bad shape today. So I found me a nice, comfortable chair. I think I was sitting near you for a while, and I had Gia next to me, and Tina was there for a while. I had the time of my life. I also wasn't doing it right. Okay, it was my fault. Pastor Matt comes over to our table, and he goes, now look, some of you guys, you're not doing the tops right. And I go, so I made the correction. But wasn't it a great time? What better thing could you do? I would put those things in there, and I'd pray, Lord, let somebody read this. Lord, let somebody get saved. Lord, get these things in the hands of sinners. And heaven will reveal that. Man. So anyway, you don't want to lay out a church. And then it says, I'm still in verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. I'm going to ask your opinion. So if I ask your opinion, you give me your opinion, you can't be wrong, right? What do you think the greatest reward you can get in your Christian life is when you go to heaven? Somebody raise their hand. Dan? That's what I think. More than the crowns, more than the gold, more than the silver, more than the precious stones. For Jesus Christ, with those wounded hands, to look at us and call our name, say, Daniel Clare, Daniel Michael Clare, well done. Thou good. Everybody, when the Lord says something, what does everybody in heaven do? They say, amen. Boy, you'll stand there and think, Lord, it's only by your grace
I could even be here. Amen? That's what I'm striving for. 71 years old, I want to hear Jesus say, more than I want to breathe, well done. Well, we're going to have to do it lawfully. Tim, if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. Bible says to do it, do it. Bible says don't do it, don't do it. That's how it's going to be. Let me do this. Steph, would you look up 1 Corinthians 4, 5 for me? Caleb, would you look up 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 11? And Joy, would you go to 1 Peter 1 and do verses 5 and 7 for me, please? A great recompense of reward. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. To have the Lord praise us for a job well done, I think that's pretty great recompense. Caleb, 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11, please. Amen. Joy, 5 and 7, 5, 2, 7, please. All of that is based on what? The great recompense of reward. It's all based on what? Faithfulness. Our faithfulness. Look at me. I don't mean to be unkind, but if we are not faithful to that book and we don't faithfully live according to the dictates of that book, he's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I share this with you again, and you know I preach it a lot. But that old Oriental, I wish I could remember. I know I was in Bible school, so this is a long time ago, guys. And this guy said, it's a responsibility of every Christian in every generation to find the course of the world and go against it. Are y'all with me? I want to ask you something, okay? Let's go back to 1880 in the United States of America. 1880. How much do you think preachers had to preach on modesty? Probably not much. Right, Dan? Why? Because of the effect of the Victorian age in England, modesty in women was way up the ladder. Now, you look at America today, you look in the fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches today, where's modesty gone? The way of the world, right? Right? And so because they watch TV, watch movies, you know, interact with all that stuff and are not in that book, they think that, you know, sleeveless and up to their high knees and, you know, cleavage and all that stuff is okay. I got news for you. It's not okay. God's standards never change. We must identify the course of the world so we can go against it. The course of the world is led by the God of this world, so it's always going to be of the devil, right? So I'm probably out of time. I am out of time. Well, I'm going to have to face the music. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for giving me the liberty to brag on the Lord a little bit, and sure appreciate it. Brother Sam.